All right. So let's start with our statement of faith. If you have a Bible, hold it up. Either way, repeat after me. I am what this says that I am.
I am what this says that I am.
I have what this says that I have.
I have what this says that I have.
I can do.
I can do.
And I will do.
And I will do.
What this says that I can do.
What this says that I can do.
I will never be the same.
I will never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Because God, is doing something new.
Is doing something new.
In me.
In me.
And through me.
And through me.
And for me.
And for me.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day and this time together. And Father, I just ask that as we've gathered here today, that you would give us ready ears to receive your word. Father, that you would give us accepting hearts, Father, that we might retain your word as truth within us, that with boldness, by our actions and our words, we could release it to those around about us. So let us receive, retain, and release your word, that we might be living epistles known and read of all. And Father, I would just ask a blessing upon these, your people, and a blessing upon the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, I was standing in the back of the church, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. And the whole theme of my message changed in the moment, which is interesting. That doesn't happen often, but what we're going to talk about today has to do with our statement of faith. One of the things that we say every Sunday, remember, just read it off of my paper here, because God is doing something new in me. Just think about that for a minute. We have allowed ourselves to be satisfied when God isn't doing something in our life. I mean, I want you to really think about that for a minute. And that's exactly how I want you to think about it, how I want you to frame it in your mind. We have allowed ourselves to be satisfied with God not doing anything in our life. I'm saved and I'm forgiven. Good enough. And we've just become satisfied just to be spiritually like we are. We're satisfied with God not moving the needle in our life whatsoever. And so what I want to present to you today is something that God wants to do something in your life. But we have to let Him.
Amen.
We have to make the conditions right for God to be able to change anything. Because if you just got to understand, if we don't change anything, nothing's going to change. How many times have we said that, right?
Yep.
If you don't change something, nothing will change. But I want to show you a passage from Isaiah. In Isaiah 43, it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, we talk about the book of Isaiah. Let me give you a little bit of context without getting too nerdy here. When we talk about Isaiah, you have to recognize that Isaiah is writing in a very bleak period in Jewish history. The children of Israel are in captivity. They've lost everything that they thought they would keep forever. The promised land, the temple, all of the things that they had were gone. They were homesick, and they wanted the blessing that God had promised for them, and they didn't have it. The first thing I want you to see is what he says here. The first step is that we have to quit looking behind. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." So, forget the former things. Just don't dwell in the past. Now, think about it from driving. You know, you can't look out the back window and drive your car. You'll run over something. Your life is the same way. If you keep looking to the past as you're moving forward, you're just going to run over stuff. That's just what's going to happen. But I'm going to ask you to think about this differently for a minute. Because this is what it's talking about with the children of Israel. It's certainly twofold, but we oftentimes, when we talk about forgetting the past, we only look at one side of that coin. And there's two sides to the coin of looking at the past. You can't depend on your past or your former victories to sustain you into tomorrow. And as believers, that is a crutch that we far too often pick up. That we think about what God did for me once before. You know what? That's fine. What's God doing? What's God doing for you right now?
That's right.
That's what you need to be thinking about. You need to be present. And that's kind of the theme in this, is you have to be present right now. We so frequently think about what God did. That time God healed me. And we think about that stuff that God's going to do. And meanwhile, in the present, right now, we're satisfied with God doing nothing. And guess what happens? You don't live in the past, and you don't live in the future. You live in the present. So you end up going through your whole life looking at what God did and thinking about what God's going to do, and end up living your whole life with God doing nothing because you're satisfied with it. That's not God's problem. That's your problem.
That's right.
Because you're satisfied with God doing nothing right now. Guess what God has to do?
Nothing.
Nothing. We so often we talk about, oh, forget the past, and we shade that with that dark pencil of what we mean is your bad decisions in the past and your sins in the past and all of that stuff that you're forgiven from, and God can't hold that past against you. You're set free from that. But what about the other side? If God did something for you before, God can do it for you again.
Amen.
If God did something for someone else, God can do that for you now.
That's right.
And man, we so frequently think about the future. What's God going to do? Oh, God's going to do, but you're okay with him doing nothing. He probably ain't going to do nothing.
That's right.
Because you seem to be happy with that.
Right.
Let's think about the children of Israel. They left Egypt. Right? The whole book of Exodus is about that. That's amazing. They left Egypt. They conquered the land of Canaan. The whole book of Joshua was about that. Look at the book of Judges. The book of Judges is basically about a series of events of the dozen or so times that Israel as a country almost collapsed, and God would raise up a prophet and save the day. Israel split in half, and we forget about that. Two tribes went one way and the other 10 went the other way. Israel was split in the northern half and the southern half. Well, really, but that's how you say it. And, they survived that. In a world of old, when that, you didn't survive those things, they did. They had so many good things to look back on that God had done for them. We still live in those sometimes. We look at the children of Israel so frequently as an example of things we ought to not do, but we do what they do. Right? We do. You go through, the children of Israel, and you go, God fed them with manna, and then they complained about manna. Right? We all know that story, how they're walking through the wilderness, and they're 40 years, and they're God's feeding them with manna every day, and then the children of Israel go, we are tired of all of this manna. We would like to have, and they list off all these foods they used to eat in Egypt, and they're mad at God, and then God feeds them with quails, And we do the same thing. God gives you a job, and then what do? I hate my darn job. We point at them and say, we ought to not, you guys shouldn't be doing that. Meanwhile, you're doing it. But even then, what are we doing? We're looking at what God has done in the past. And it's like, the question isn't what has God done, and the question isn't what is God able to do. The question is, what is God doing right now? And if you look at your life, and you don't feel like God is working something in you right now, don't look at God. Because he wants to. but you have to let him. You know, there's an old saying, you know, that God isn't finished. Well, you know what? And that's true. God isn't finished with you. You know, but I mean, think about God being a, well, Scotty's here, think about God being a drywall contractor, right? Scotty shows up to work to finish the drywall, and the door's locked. Guess what Scotty ain't doing? God's not finished with you either, but we've got him locked out of our lives. I will never be the same because God is doing something new in me if I'll let him.
That's right.
Now, that's one half of the coin, right? The other half of the coin is, you know, if we want God to do anything in our life, we have to recognize that you can't allow your past failures to possess you either.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Because we see that in the children of Israel. You know, God gave them the temple, and then they turned it over to idol worship. And God gave them the truth, and then they proclaimed that truth to be a lie. And then God gave them the commandments, and, well, they treated the commandments like they were suggestions. And, you know, God gave them wealth, and they oppressed the poor. You know, it's those same things happen, and certainly it is true, but when the Scripture teaches us not to look to the things of the past, guess what that means? That means don't live in the past. What if the past was good? It means don't live in the past. What if the past was bad? It means don't live in the past. Right? Truth is the truth is the truth. You know, I mean, we see this, forget not the former things. Don't dwell in the past. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. You know, you have to recognize here that God's not condemning them for their past. They couldn't do anything to change it. That's just like me and you. God's not condemning us for our past. We can't do anything to change that. You did it, or you didn't do it. Whichever your error is. So you got to forget about that because God gives us the opportunity to start over. Look at Isaiah 55. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In another translation it says, for he will freely pardon. Now we see this same thing in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul writing this same idea in the New Testament. And when this happens, there's not a whole lot of these, probably 15 or 20, where something is stated in the Old Testament very, very concise and clear. And then in the New Testament, the same thing is said. Look at what Paul says. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's the same thought in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, consider, what is it? I'm going to go back to it, I guess a little. In the Old Testament, remember not the old things, and God says, because I'm doing something different. And then in the New Testament, he says, don't think about those things in the past, look to the future, pressing toward the mark of the prize and the high calling. It's the same thing. I'm doing something new, so quit worrying about what I've done. You know, and we just have to admit it. We all, every one of us, has an ego problem. All right? Every one of us thinks we are far more important than we are. All right? And here's how I'm going to prove it to you. All right, you ready? Oh, have you ever been in a group picture? Right? What's the first thing you look for?
Me.
Ooh, I wonder how I look. What about everybody else? Well, why it got to be about you? Right? We all have an ego problem. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before. This is how egocentric we are. This is how big of an ego problem we have. When your preacher reads that verse to you, here's how it sounds in your brain. I'm not going to worry about what I've done in the past. I'm going to worry about what I'm going to do tomorrow. Would you read that verse again? Where does that verse tell you it's about the things that you did or the things you're going to do? It says things. It doesn't say your things.
Right.
It doesn't say your deeds.
Right.
Forget the old things. Worry about the new things. And we make it about me.
Yep.
Funny how we do that, isn't it? Because we take a verse of Scripture. Want to make sure I didn't miss any words. I don't think there's anything confusing in that Scripture. Right? Well, there's nothing in there that's a hard thing to understand. And we let our ego infiltrate our thought patterns so much that we wrongly divide that verse without even thinking about it. And then your preacher will stand here and say, it's not about what you did before. And we'll go, amen. And that's not what that says. Is that part of it? Sure, it's part of it. Is that all of it? No, not even close. We talk about faith. Taught a whole series on faith, right? You can't live tomorrow on yesterday's faith. And that's what we try to do. The children of Israel did it. They talked about the Passover so much they made a holiday. But Passover, the Red Sea, the conquering the land of kingdom, the building of the temple in the first place was a technological marvel in its day. Think about that. The tabernacle that they packed up and carried around with them. That's almost an unfathomable task to complete. And they did that. And then they built it out of stone, which is just amazing. They had seen the hand of God at work through all of their things, through all of the history of the children of Israel from the middle of Genesis on. And their faith in God, let me rephrase this, the faith that they had in the things that God had done was doing nothing to deliver them from their present situation. This is the difficult part of this. Because we take faith and then we twist it in our brain and make it history. Because remember, faith is a verb. Faith is a thing you do. Faith is a thing that's in the moment.
Amen.
When we say, God has done a thing. God healed River Payton. Right? Jesus walked on the water. Right? Jesus divided the fishes and the loaves. And all of these things that have happened. I have faith that that happened. No, you don't. You believe that that occurred. That's not faith.
Right.
Faith is knowing you'll do it right now. And so we take belief and try to turn that into faith, and that's just not how it works. We have to just kind of think about old faith and new faith. Old faith is really just believing that God did what he did. Now, you can deny that God did this. I don't believe that happened. Well, I believe it did happen. Okay, well, neither one of those are faith. Faith is what God's doing right now.
Right.
Faith is what God will do. Believing is what God did. And we're supposed to live in faith about what God's doing right now. In Psalm 85, it says, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Look at verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but not let them not turn again to folly. I will hear what the Lord will speak. Why isn't God working in our life? I mean, let's just be, bluntly honest with each other. Why isn't God working in our life? Because we're missing verse 8. I will hear what God will speak. Well, the problem is, most of the time, we decide what we want God to do for us. Right? And then it doesn't happen and we're okay with it. Well, why are we okay with it? Well, that was never God's plan in the first place, and deep down I think we all know that. We have to hear what God will speak. Not, God, I want you to make me a whatever. It has to be, God, what do you want to make me? Then we can see God begin to work in the present. We're willing to accept God's will, and we're willing to hear what God the Lord will speak. I'm going to read this from a different translation. It says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. This all says God is already doing the thing. Don't you recognize what I'm doing? This is how, if we'll be honest with ourselves and with each other for a minute, this is how out of touch we are with God's plan for our life. Most of us, honestly, this is how out of touch we are. God's already doing the new thing in your life, and you don't even recognize it. Because you're not open to change. You don't want to change. You're not submitting to the voice of God. You're not submitting to God's will. Oh, we act like we are. But we're not. And God's making a change in your life right now, and we're literally resistant to God's changes in our lives. To the point that we can't even recognize that God's trying to do something. Think about that for a minute. Look at what he says. Now, look at it in the old translation. It says, shall ye not know it? It says, I shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I made a note here somewhere. Yeah, shall ye not know it here, perceive in the alternate translation I just read. It's the Greek word yada, which literally means to know by seeing. You literally can't even see what God is doing because you're just that out of touch with it. Think about that. God is making a change in your life, and you don't even recognize it because you're not open to it. We have to be humble to hear the voice of God and what God is trying to bring in our lives. In order for us to start to recognize and to see what it is that God really wants for us, we have to put yourselves in the mindset of these children of Israel that we're talking about, because they had a choice. They could focus on their past and the problems, or they could focus on what God was trying to accomplish. I mean, we read, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks ago, the end of this story, where there's an overthrow in the kingdom and the new king sends them back home, and doesn't just send them home. He sends them home with all their stuff, and then says, you know what? All your stuff's not enough. Here, take a bunch of our stuff too. God had a plan, and they were completely out of touch. To the point that they just didn't know what to do next. And that's where we are. We have to begin by seeing God, by seeing us how God sees us. You know, in Romans 12, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And then in Colossians 1:21, it says, in you who were once alienated and enemies by your wicked works, ye now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. We have to recognize how God sees us, and that when God sees us, he doesn't see our failings. That when God sees us, he sees the perfection of Christ. Amen. And that God can transform the desert areas of our life into blessing and abundance. You know, we see this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where it says, the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect on the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. We're being transformed if we'll just let it happen.
Amen.
We just have to be present in the moment, not focusing on what God did yesterday, not focusing on what God's going to do tomorrow. What is God doing now? And then follow that.
Amen.
You have to commit yourself to... I'm going to say something now, and everybody in here goes, oh, yeah, that's right. Right? But none of us are doing it. We have to commit ourselves to God's plan. I'm going to challenge you to think about something right now. We think about what God did, and then we think about what God's going to do. Right? When we think about what God's going to do, you just think about this question for a week. Are we saying God's going to, because God's told us he's going to do that? Or are we saying God's going to, because that's just what we want him to do? Quit thinking about what God's going to do. Start thinking about what God is doing. And then get in line with that. And that's how you commit to God's plan.
That's right.
It's not about what God's fixing to do and what you're fixing to do. It's about what God is doing.
Amen.
And how you get in step with that. God is already bringing good things to you. That's not the question. The question is, do you want what God's bringing? Stand with me, please.